Blog Talk Radio.
Find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by Night Guard Solar, your guaranteed solar power protection against nighttime predators. Visit them online at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Gorman. Today is Tuesday, April 13th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.net. That's chickenwhisperer.net. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, and of course, sign up for our monthly newsletter, The Chicken Scratch. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I do invite you to join the live chicken chat that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on into the chicken chat room, sit a spell, make some new friends, chat with others, ask questions to our guests, and generally have a great time. I also want to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by Night Guard Solar. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll welcome my co-host, Pat Forman, and our special guest today. Stay with us.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in just any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends and neighbors with your very own custom labeled egg carton from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com and save 10% off your entire order by using the coupon code WHISPER.
One of the biggest responsibilities we have as backyard poultry owners is to keep our flocks safe from predators. Sometimes this is easier said than done. Until now, costing only pennies per day to operate, Night Guard Solar is completely weatherproof and will provide complete predator protection for years to come, using daylight or sunlight to power itself. Order your Night Guard Solar lights today at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651. Or visit them online at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
If you're looking for a quality-made chicken coop, then look no further than Horizon Structures. When you purchase from Horizon Structures, you can rest assured that your product is produced and delivered with the highest craftsmanship through traditional value, honesty, and integrity. all chicken coops are delivered fully assembled and ready to use right away. To pick out your new Horizon Structures chicken coop, visit horizonstructures.com. That's horizonstructures.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's now time to introduce my wonderful, wonderful, and pleasant co-host, always here just about every single day, that is author and poultry advocate, Pat Foreman. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Yeah, hey, Whisper, always good to be on the show. It gives me a chance to talk about chickens when everyone else's eyes just kind of glaze over. You may not know that feeling, but isolated somewhat here in Virginia, I kind of do. I'm so proud of you that you caught up on some of your napping and your sleep time. Very good. I give you an applause.
Thank you. I did think about you yesterday, and I was just so dead tired from the tour. I mean, it was crazy, all the cities we hit. We were pulling some 20-hour days. It was amazing. And then the flights, and it was just overwhelming. So, and a very good learning experience. And so you can tell that, and I apologize, my voice is still not back 100%. So luckily I've got the mute switch here so I can mute whenever I have to cough so y'all don't have to deal with that. And I've got some lemon water here that I'm drinking a little bit, so I do apologize for my voice today, but the show must go on, even though we did take a little break yesterday. It was just too overwhelming. I had too much to do to kind of get back in the groove. But yes, the show must go on, and we are live today, and we appreciate all of our first-time listeners listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Pat and I and all of our special guests appreciate you tuning in every day, Monday through Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, some Saturdays on location at different events around the country. So we want to thank you very much. The live chat is up and running. Again, as stated earlier in the announcement, so all you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage and come on in and sit a spell and make some new friends. Got a lot of regulars in there. And, of course, we have the live webcam, so you can choose other friends in the chat to webcam each other. And, of course, everybody has the opportunity to look at boring old me here. And if you're looking at the webcam, then you probably see something a little bit different today on the webcam, at the Chicken Whisperer webcam, and that is I have gone Hawaiian. I've got my Hawaiian shirt on. I don't have the overalls on today. I think this may be the second time in the history of broadcast that I don't have the overalls on. But, yep, today is Hawaiian day. I've got my blue jean shorts on and some loafers and the Hawaiian shirt. So starting to hit in the mid-80s, and so it's becoming a little too hot for overalls. And so people who know me know that pretty much between about October and April, it's overall Andy. And then between April and October, it's Hawaiian Andy. And so those are my two outfits in my closet. And So now it's just about time to pull out the Hawaiian shirts and shorts, and we'll see if I can't get some sponsorships. Okay, so if someone can answer, new to chickens is in the chat room. He or she is wondering, she can't hear the show, and so if someone can in the chat room real quick type in there to either kind of reboot, make sure she does click on today's show, because sometimes that is confusing that you'll click on a previous show, and even though you won't be hearing the live show, you may be hearing a show from yesterday or the day before or 2 weeks from then. So just want to make sure. Pat, did you see Penny's comment in the chat room where she said she has a confession to make, that she actually tilled her garden yesterday?
Yes, I did see that, and I crossed myself and made a little prayer for all those soil dwellers that had their little holes all crashed and crumbled up. It's like having a tsunami and an earthquake all at once in that ground if you're a little soil dweller. But I'm sure they'll get over it and they'll repopulate. But gosh, that is a confession. Penny, I hope you feel better. I guess that's all I can say. I know there's that relieved thing about having that garden look so tidy and all plowed up. And I got a comment, too, Whisper, on that little Hawaiian shirt. I was wondering if you weren't going to start promoting a Chicken Whisper cruise. Yeah, we can do the hula. Have little feathers as a hula skirt.
You say that. I have actually talked with Rob Ludlow, owner and creator of BackyardChickens.com. That has come up in conversation with him and I a lot of times, actually having a backyard poultry cruise for anybody who's interested. You know, they have, you know, all types of different themed cruises for you name it. And so it has actually come up in conversation, but that's about all it's done is actually come up in conversation.
Well, that's an interesting thought about putting together a chicken cruise. But you never know. I mean, it could have a specialty theme, like a breeds, maybe a breeds conference where all the different breeds could come and have their meetings, and then they can write off on their taxes the cruise and meet people in different countries or islands with their chickens. I mean, it's got a lot of potential. But if you could do it for some sort of a business person, it could be tax deductible, and that might be a theme there to the breeders. Anyway.
I think so. Hey, whenever I go out to dinner, we talk chickens, and then you can write it off, right? Isn't that the way it's supposed to work anyway?
Absolutely. It's your business. You own, what is it, Chicken Whisper Inc.? You should make your entire life tax deductible.
my dogs will actually go into the chicken houses and pull the eggs out for me. I guess I could write them off as workers.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, especially since it is the high tax time right now. But as a matter of fact, dogs are approved as alarm for security. And they found that probably the number one thing that deters break and entry people, or even, I would guess, predators, is a barking dog. So as a matter of fact, I do deduct my dogs as a tax write-off to help protect my poultry operation. And they're
You're
all
serious.
Of research and development. Yeah, I'm serious. Yeah, they're just a fantastic defense. I mean, they protect our assets here. So
you heard it first here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Pat is writing off her pups for protection as poultry workers. I love it. That's great.
That's right. It's a living security system and rodent and pest control system. I even have pictures of my Maine Coon cat chomping on a rat. That's in the tax files, because you can pay for rodent control poisons. Why can't you pay to have a cat as part of your rodent control strategy? It's truly the organic way to go.
I guess you have a good point there. Now, of course, this Thursday is tax day, most people every day, and I forget the actual date because it changes every year. And it becomes longer and longer and longer within the year of how long we really have to work into the year before we start working for ourselves. And I forget if it's 5 months, 6 months, I forget exactly the date, but the average date that Americans work once the 2010 year starts, just to pay their taxes, and then they start working for themselves. And I'll try to look that up and share it with us on this Thursday. But also I'm hoping to have a big special announcement on Thursday as well. I made an email and phone call this morning, and I'm hoping to have a big announcement on Thursday to help with the chicken stimulus package, if you will, since Penny in the chat room is actually stating it's today. Today is Tax Freedom Day, so maybe up to this point we have
we're
to
free.
So anyway, I'll have to look that up and confirm that. So thanks, Penny, for that information. If that is the case, today may be Tax Freedom Day. And all of our work up to this point was to pay our taxes, and then now we can start working for ourselves. So very errant. As we always say, the only money government has is the money it steals from us.
Ooh.
Oh,
well,
Lordy, my goodness. So,
There is a big debate about whether taxes are constitutionally approved or not, and it's kind of one of the biggest secrets that the IRS really doesn't have the authority to collect taxes on paper anyway. But that gets into all kinds
of
areas.
You know what?
I don't want to go
I have to give them credit. You know, everybody gets all mad about the three-letter word IRS. But to be honest with you guys, if you think about it, the IRS is really only and supposedly enforcing what Congress passes. So you can get mad, I guess, at the IRS, but if their job is to enforce the laws are created by Congress. So it's, you know, you have to blame them. They're the one who created this 70,000-page tax code. So that's who you blame. The IRS is just enforcing the code that's been passed or approved by our non-representing representatives.
Non-representative. That's pretty good.
Yep. Non-representing representative.
Well, one of my philosophies is, as you said, you've got 70,000 pages of tax code, but where there's confusion, there's profit. So if there's a gray area, go ahead and deduct it. But the taxes, it's such an amazing game, and it's certainly, you know, I don't mind paying for taxes for a lot of things that, I mean, our roads, our superhighway systems. There's so much that we get for our taxes. What I mind is when it's squandered, and we know mm-hmm. some of those instances. But anyway, I still can't think of any other country I'd rather live in than America right now. It's
you and me both.
It's one fine
exactly
country,
right.
And we are free. And if we don't like our government or taxes, we can say it, and without getting imprisoned. And that's not really true in a lot of countries. So, God bless America.
Absolutely. It's on time to move on to chickens in the news. Didn't know if you had any contributions for that today, Pat. I'm just going to go down the list real quick and let people know. Most of our chickens in the news is posted on our Facebook page, facebook.com, search for the Chicken Whisperer. And just to kind of go down the list here of some that were posted here over the last few days, Clinton to vote on chicken rules. Of course, that's not Bill or Hillary. That is a city named Clinton or an area named Clinton. We've got resident squawk over chicken law change. We've got that one to talk about. We have survival mode has CDA residents making a chicken run. It's a very good story from KXLY.com. And it's about a shortage of chickens in the northern Idaho area. It's a video story and a print story. Very, very good to watch, talking about they're having a hard time getting chickens. We've got one down here. Let's see. All these are posted on our Facebook page. Chicken coop sprouting up in Springfield despite an ordinance against it. And then we've got, this is a good one, on civic agriculture, why backyard chickens matter. And this is a very, very good article. It's very, very long, but it's a very good article. So you'll have to just go to our Facebook page and look at all the chickens in the news. But we'll go ahead and head over to Pat, and she can share chickens in the news for today.
Well, yes, I've got two articles that are kind of interrelated, and it's they're almost contradictory in a way. But one, remember we talked some time ago about the cock-a-doodle-doo, which is the organic fertilizer that you can buy and buy for your lawns. They've got, and it comes from poultry litter. It's organic, organically approved poultry litter. And I was in our local garden store over the weekend, and sure enough, there was cock-a-doodle-doo, a six-pound bag sold for $16. Okay, a six-pound bag of cock-a-doodle-doo fertilizer sold for $16. That's about $2.70 a pound, which is kind of about what some of the lesser cuts of beef costs. So then I come home, and I'm checking the mail, and here comes this article from the Huffington Post by David Kirby. And then the title is, "You Want Chicken Poop with That Steak? Why FDA Should Ban Feces from Feed." And this article, I mean, somehow it just seemed like a poo day. But I'm going to just read part of it here. He goes, "Because one of the most revolting things I learned while researching my new book," and his book is entitled Animal Factory, "is that some cattle are chicken fattened on rations that include chicken manure." And it's because of the chicken manure, as we've talked about, it's very valuable because it's absolutely loaded with nitrogen and urea, and apparently cow stomachs are adapted at converting that raw nitrogen and urea into, ready-to-grow protein, quite frankly, so you can then eat it. Well, he says, "We feed chicken manure to cattle because it's cheap and because we produce far too much of it to properly dispose of as a fertilizer. And then, Whisper, this gets wound back then into what's going on the North Shore up there on the Chesapeake Bay. He says, today's broiler chickens are raised at record speed in massive mechanized farms that cram tens of thousands of birds into a single confinement. And the broilers, as we know, just live 8 weeks, but in that short time, excuse me, they have endless fecal droppings, which we know they don't urinate, they just eat and poop. I mean, that's sort of a chicken's life. And they mix it into bedding of wood chips and other material, and it comes out as a thick cake. Apparently, when they scrape those barns up, it comes up as a thick cake. So what becomes of all that? Well, its nitrogen and phosphorus content is so high that land application uses are limited. So even though they're saying, oh, yeah, go use all that litter on the fields, it's so hot still in that form that it can burn. So the limit to, it's limited by law about how much you can actually put on the fields. And, of course, if you put too much, then it goes into forming algae blooms once it gets in the rivers and waters, and that's toxic too. And in Arkansas now, they have traces of arsenic, which is a growth-promoting feed additive we talked about, and it's found in homes now near the cropland in which the litter was spread. So it goes on to this. Why do we convert, this is cute, chicken dung to Chateaubriand, which is a very nice French meat dish? Well, to begin with, cattle were meant to eat grasses, not feces, or corn, or soybeans, or other subsidized commodities. But there's another reason why chicken litter should probably be kept away from cattle. And that's because it contains rendered bits of beef byproducts. Now, chickens are not tidy eaters, and they spill copious amounts of food into their litter, which is then fed to cattle. And as everyone knows, here's where the loop comes, that cows that eat cows can go mad from the bovine spongiform encephalopathy, or the BSE, which is partly why some of America's beef exports aren't permitted overseas, because we're still feeding cows to cows through different sources. So the plot thickens. In 2004, FDA proposed banning poultry litter in cattle feed to avoid the spread of BSE, and of course it's already been outlawed in Canada, but that hasn't happened. Apparently FDA got troubling feedback, quote-unquote, from the agricultural sector, and it still, quite frankly, hasn't happened, even with since an administration has come and gone, and it's still being used. So here we go. I mean, what can you say? Surely, this article ends up, he goes, surely we can produce food without giving feces, blood, and old meatloaf to cattle. And if we can't do that, there's something so seriously wrong with our system that we really need to look at it. So those two articles kind of came together. On one hand, you've got cock-a-doodle-doo selling for $2.70 a pound in one area of the country, and the other, it's being fed to cows that has all kinds of deleterious unintended consequences. And what are we doing with our food supply system? So all that is to come back around to why backyard poultry is so amazingly and incredibly important at every level. So that's my little bit for the news, kind of weaving all these interrelated and entangled subjects all together.
No, that's perfectly fine. That was a great one, and it's just amazing. We talk about that a lot on the radio show here, our food source and what's in our food and what we eat and what our kids eat at the schools, and we try to cover a little bit of everything here, from backyard poultry to self-sustaining lifestyle and healthy lifestyle and sustainability. So that fit right up in there with all of our what we're putting into our bodies. So thank you for that, Pat.
Really says, I think, the solution to so many of our problems is to do food in locally and, of course, decentralize a lot of these big factory farms, if possible. I mean, I know they produce huge amounts of food, and I'm not sure we'll be able to totally do that. But when you have so many animals producing so much of a problem product like their manure, and yet it could – so. And yet we could use it in our backyards very nicely, or in the smaller farms, to spread it back the way we used to. There's no simple answers to these complicated questions. So.
You're right. Well, we're going to take a real quick break, and we come back. We're going to welcome Jeanette Behringer with the ALBC. Today, our breed of the month is Java. And we're going to be talking about that beautiful breed here when we come back right after this short break. So stay with us, folks. Don't go anywhere.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in just any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends and neighbors with your very own custom labeled egg carton from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com and save 10% off your entire order by using the coupon code WHISPER.
There will always be something that will love your chickens more than you. That's why I use Night Guard Solar to protect my flock. Night Guard Solar has successfully been manufacturing and selling Night Guard Solar lights for over 12 years and offers a one-year warranty and complete money-back guarantee. No waiting. Night Guard Solar will be shipped within 48 hours of your order. Order your Night Guard Solar lights today at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Our special guest is Jeanette Behringer with the ALBC, American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. And it looks like we have someone else calling in as well with Jeanette. So I've got every single person I know on the line. So Jeanette, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
And you have someone else with you as well, correct?
Yeah, hopefully she called in waiting on Deborah Underwood Brown.
Deborah, are you on the air?
Yes, I am. I don't know. I'm not
Great.
On the air.
Yeah, you're on the air. We hear you. No
I
problem.
Am.
Great. Wanted to make sure we had everybody on. Yes, ma'am.
Great.
Yeah, we, as you said, we're talking about the Javas today, and I invited Deborah to come on board with me because there is no official Java club, and Deborah is one of the more active people with Javas, at least in our area. We've been working together on a a local project with Java chickens, so I thought it'd be great to have her on the show.
Wonderful.
Well, welcome,
yes,
both
I'm
to
happy
show,
to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we're thrilled to have you, Deborah, and I understand you're a real champion of the Javas and have been doing some amazing things getting them into community colleges. So we'd love to hear that story.
Well, actually, it's Jeanette who has been taking the actions to get them into community colleges, so maybe she could speak on that.
Yes, but you provided the eggs, though, as I understand, right?
Yes, I did. They're from my flock. My flock is originally from the Garfield Project, you know, that started back in, I guess it was in 99 or so, a long time ago. You know, they were collaborating at the time with Tim Christakos over at the Museum of the science and industry in Chicago. And so my flock came originally from there. I got my first chicks in 2002 and have been building the flock since.
Wow.
So, yes, my chicks, I saw pictures of them this morning. Jeanette sent them to me. They're beautiful. They look like they're doing well, Jeanette.
Yeah, I was at the college yesterday. The project we're working on is actually at Central Carolina Community College here in Pittsboro. They have an organic farm, and a few years ago added chickens to their farm to help with pest control. And, you know, they wanted to get some kind of livestock in there. And they've always kind of had a mixed group of chickens, and mostly heritage chickens. But they didn't have any purpose beyond, you know, doing the pest control and fertilizing. And so I proposed that they perhaps think about going with one heritage breed and using those chickens for above and beyond just those basics and use them as a teaching flock. And so we suggested the Java because there are fewer people raising Javas these days. And what we intend to do is with the college flock is to build up a real good quality flock and make them productive and real good egg layers and meat producers, and use the flock as a teaching resource for the students that come in that want to learn about production selection in chickens. And so I knocked on Deb's door to get some Java eggs and brought the eggs to a friend of ours down in South Carolina that has a lot of experience with hatching, and he hatched them out for us. And they arrived at the college a few weeks ago, and I've just been really surprised at how much excitement everybody has about Javas. And Deb was just telling me the other day when she was at, Whole Foods?
Whole Foods, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
somebody...
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I have a wonderful opportunity at our local Whole Foods market. I've been selling my Java eggs there as pastured heirloom chicken eggs for about a year and a half now, and they have been very kind, and they have actually a large picture of me holding a Java chicken in my arms. It's one of my pet ones. It's very gentle. And they have a little spill on the Javas and how, you know, they're so endangered, and one of the original homestead birds. And so they've been very kind to let me come and bring my other farm goods, I call them. I call it the farm table I bring there. And had a fellow come by and was asking me about Javas and said that he had been buying my wonderful rich eggs now for several months, and that at the college that he was a professor, a teacher, they had Java chicks. And, of course, my ears perked up. And I said, where is this? And he said, in Pittsburgh. And so I knew immediately it was my chicks. And so I was so proud. I felt like a proud parent. But, yes, it's a small world. And he was so proud of them and was so pleased that, you know, they had the opportunity to have this old rare breed.
Wow, yeah, that is so wonderful. Well, I have a quick question there for Deborah. When you take your table into a Whole Foods, what do you have on it? What kind of display materials do you have?
I have this wonderful. These folks have been great to me because I am not a trained artist or farmer. Other than farming, I've been doing as a way of life. I grew up that way. I mean, it's not something I went to school to learn, but, you know, I've always lived that way, and we live very close to the land in a very old house. And they have been very nice to train me, I think without thinking about it, in the legalities and the marketing part of it. They've been wonderful to me. And they've said to me, Deborah, just bring your stuff. Bring whatever you do. And so I do. I come and I set it up outside. It's outside, you know, like in the parking area.
Oh, okay.
It's a pretty area. And I bring what I do on my farm, whether it's my artwork. I paint Java chickens. I paint kind of in an old-world style. I do it in oils and on canvas. I do watercolors as well. I bring note cards that I make from watercolors of the farm and of the chickens. And lots of, you know, anything that we come up with. Bags. I've made bags with screen printing with Java chickens on them, and they let me bring those and sell them. And then, of course, when we have produce, I bring those. Eggs are in the store. They have them. It's such so wonderful on many levels. They have them in a facsimile sort of a nest in a produce in the produce section, so they're kept cold, so people can choose their individual eggs. And
wow.
Oh, really?
So they can pick and choose through the eggs like you were doing it in a nest, huh?
Yes, they certainly
can. They're
not in
cartons.
No, they choose. And, of course, little children, people bring their kids there all the time. And, you know, I made cards that are, you know, my web address and phone numbers and all these things. But on the front is one of my watercolor chicken paintings, and I give those to children particularly so their parents can go into my blog spot and see what the chickens are doing. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity to teach and talk about Java chickens, which I do. I'm sure people just get sick of me. You know, I get my soapbox out and go on and on and on and on. But, you know, it's a way of living, and it's a way of thinking. And, you know, it is, you know, does not sound cliche, it is the wonderful cycle, you know, of life, you know. And if you live that way, things are much simpler and so much richer. So
Have you ever taken a live, since you're outside, taken one of your Javas to the store so they can see what it looks like in feathers?
You know, the whole biosecurity thing worries me a bit. My background is in medicine, and I fret about germs and viruses and such. So, you know, if I took one there, I would be worried about bringing it back. I would love to do that.
Catch
that
disease?
Yeah, that my flock could pick up something. You know, I have a close flock. I'm careful, you know, not neurotic perhaps. Some people might call me neurotic, but, you know, I make everybody put little shoe covers on, you know, that sort of, or change their boots, or just sensible things if you've got a flock. So I've thought about doing that, and people have asked me, but I think I would be, you know, would have to keep the bird confined, you know, away from the flock for a period of time. And for me, it just hasn't worked. Maybe other people could figure out a way to do it, but I haven't, so.
Okay. Well, we always bring our birds, or someone brings some birds to our poultry club meetings. We haven't, we just, I guess, don't worry much about in the public with other people. It's the way we would
well,
so much
with
other
people,
other
flock. You're right, but like at a big grocery store like that, you know, where there's just lots of people coming through, I, you know, have been hesitant, you know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Java breed itself. I mean, what you're doing, Deborah, is absolutely fantastic. And my gosh, it sounds like you've kind of really helped to preserve this breed as sort of the power of one with your passion for them. But, I mean, I was surprised when I started looking into it that the Java really originated in the United States. How did it get its name, Java?
Jeanette, do you want to speak on that, or...?
Yeah, well, it's thought that they were created from Asiatic birds that had come by way of England, and you know, the breed itself was developed actually you're right here in the U.S. and they were known to be in existence here between 1835 and 1850, and you know, the famous Daniel Webster actually had Javas and showed them at the America's First Poultry Show in Boston in 1849, and that's where the breed started gaining some recognition, was because of Webster having them. But the Java themselves are a premier homestead chicken. You know, they were basically meant to fend for themselves quite a bit and be able to, you know, pick a meal out of the land. And the other significant thing about them is that the Java was used in a number of breeds as part of the development of the breeds. And the like the Plymouth Rock, for instance, has some Java in its breeding, as does the Jersey Giant. And so they really have made a considerable contribution to poultry breeding in the United States. But the Javas, their downfall for some people is that, you know, you have to wait a little bit to have them grow out all the way. They are a little more slower growing, but because they're slower growing, the chefs absolutely love them. And I should mention part of the community college project that we're working on, The culls from the flock are actually going to be utilized in their natural cooking school, which is going to open this fall, so that people can learn how to cook heritage chicken. And, you know, we'll start off small, of course, and they won't be cooking them every week, but it'll be a great opportunity for the cooking students to learn about these birds as well. And
wow.
The Javas, the two APA-accepted colors are black and mottled, although white does come out as a sport out of them, but I think because it was so similar to the white Plymouth Rock, they never did accept them into the APA. So the APA accepted colors are the black and mottled, and they have single combs, and they have a really long back. They when you look at them, they're supposed to have the longest back of the American breeds, and they're a really nice active bird. You know, they have at the college, they have the chicks out on pasture during the day, and boy, they're working it. They're out there running and jumping and, you know, rip-roaring and ready to take on the entire garden. It's quite great.
They will
great.
Take on the entire garden, given opportunity.
Yeah.
There's a question in the chat room from Penny about the temperament of Javas,
yes.
Including the
yes.
roosters.
Yes. I have never had an aggressive rooster. I should knock on wood somewhere, and I've had lots of roosters. I think it is the breed. I think they are much less aggressive. I've had chickens of some sort for 30 years, Java in the last 8, they're just not aggressive. Now, saying that, as with any livestock or wildlife, you give rooster. I call it rooster room. You don't confront a rooster. You don't, you know, act aggressively toward one, because if you do, they're going to act like a rooster. They're going to defend their territory. It's the same with any livestock. So I've always, you know, followed those rules and never had a problem. I just, in fact, had the wonderful pleasure just last week of meeting a fine young man who is the keeper of the historic farm on Roanoke Island off the coast of North Carolina. It's called Island Farm, and it's a working 1850s farm, and he came to get 2 Java roosters because he had terrible luck with very aggressive roosters there, and of course cannot have an aggressive rooster because they have the public coming through, you know,
yeah.
all the time. And so I'm keeping my fingers crossed for these boys that they behave themselves and live up to what I have been telling people. But they're not as aggressive as other roosters, certainly. It would be my choice if I was going to have one that had to be around people a lot.
Mm-hmm. They have a distinctive crow. There's a Melinda wants to know if they're if they
no,
crow.
No, not that I'm
she,
aware
she,
of, Jeanette. I mean, they sound like other roosters to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I didn't notice anything different
no.
from them.
No,
no,
the hens are, I love them because they're just great big chunky. They have huge legs. All Java's little legs are bigger than I think average chickens. And they're just kind of slow. They're just very happy to walk about, and, you know, they're very broody. Right now I have 5 that are wanting to sit on eggs very badly. I always have someone in spring, and even in the winter, I'll have 2 or 3 that are wanting to sit on eggs. Very broody. They do well with their chicks if you help them with the environment, and by that I mean, you know, they have to be in what I call a nursery, which for me is an enclosed pen inside the hen house with water and food for the hen and the chicks, because snakes will eat them. We have terrible predators in the South. And so snakes, you know, you name it, possums, raccoons, everything goes after those babies. So the hen needs help if you expect to raise them all. But they're very good mothers, and I can't say enough about their foraging abilities. We rotate between pastures, and I actually let them into my garden, which is fenced to keep the deer out, and I don't need a tractor. I mean, they tear it up and eat everything in there, you know, off-season. And then I'm ready to plant again with nice, rich soil. So I love the breed.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jeanette.
I was going to say you had mentioned their legs. one thing that, Deborah had pointed out on my last visit over there was it was really important to have proper leg color in the Javas. And correct me if I'm wrong, but they have kind of like a dark blue color to their legs with yellow soles. Is that how you would describe
it? Yes. The solid black Java should have, the black on the top, the legs, and then the top of the foot should be completely covered in black, and then the soles are very yellow. Now, the model looks a little different. The model, and I think we should clarify models for people that haven't seen them. It almost looks like you took a black chicken and you splashed it with paint. It's not like a Bard Rock or a Dominecker. It's splashed or modeled with white. And then the legs are kind of a grayish blue, I guess, again, covering the whole top of the foot with yellow soles. And then the white has kind of a yellowish color leg. And I do have whites. I have about 20 whites, and they came out of breeding black ones, two blacks. This is a recessive white gene, and you can, just with the right breeding, get a solid white.
Okay. So the white is coming back, or it's not approved, I guess, by APA, but are you trying to bring it back?
Well, I think everybody was trying to bring it back. I mean, what was it? I don't know my dates, but I want to say like in 1999 or so, it was Peter Mamberg, am I saying that correctly, Jeanette? And Mamberg, who was the director of the Garfield Museum at the time, he and Tim Christakos over at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago, they collaborated, and actually there were several articles that came out about the white popping up again because they hadn't seen the white in, 50, 75 years.
Yeah. Wow, so amazing. Well, listen, we want to take a little break, and when we come back, let's continue talking about the possibility of the white Javas coming back, because I kind of thought they were extinct.
No, I have 20 or so.
You have 20? Okay. Well, let's go to break then. We'll talk about your 20 when we get back. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Night Guard Solar would like to extend a special introductory offer to all the Chicken Whisperer listeners. Get 4 Night Guard Solar lights for just $100 plus shipping. That's a savings of $20. All you have to do is mention the coupon code WHISPER when you call an order. Take advantage of this great special right now by calling 1-800-328-6647. That's 1-800-328-6647, or visit them online at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com.
Spring will be here before you know it, and you need to be prepared before you bring home those new chickens. If a new coop is on your list, then look no further than Creative Coops. The first of its kind, made of interchangeable components, a Creative Coops chicken coop allows you to expand the hen house, expand the pen, and even make it a tractor by adding wheels. Start with 2 or 3 chickens, and then expand to 8. Once you purchase a Creative Coops chicken coop, you won't need to buy another. Visit them online at creativecoops.com. That's creativecoops.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Are you looking for a unique gift idea for that chicken, horse, or cattle lover? Well, look no further than Hoof and Hen Ranch. They provide necessary, helpful, unusual, and interesting products that relate to chickens, horses, and other animals and livestock.
Located on a small farm in Beaumont, Texas, Hoof and Hen Ranch promises to deliver quality products and customer service to their customers. Place your order today at hoofandhenranch.com. That's hoofandhenranch.com.
And the Mighty Bird Against Prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
All righty, thank you very much for staying tuned today. Backyard Poultry with Chicken Whisperer. Today we're talking all about the Java. And we're just about to get into the question before we went to break.
Hello, you know, I can't hear you.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay, but you can't hear Andy?
Can't hear Andy.
Okay,
no?
He's coming in a little bit staccato. So, well,
okay.
We kind of wanted to pick up a little bit where we were after the break and then also just maybe talk a little bit about this idea of having a community college with a teaching flock. I think, wouldn't it be something if community colleges across the U.S. adopted a heritage breed flock and then use them in the way that you were describing? So maybe we can finish up talking a little bit about the white and how you've got 20 of them, even though they were thought to have disappeared in the 1950s, and then go and talk about the curriculum maybe a little bit about what they're teaching at that community college. And we've just got, not very long, just a few more minutes to go. So,
The college actually has one of the oldest established, if not the oldest, sustainable agriculture programs, and they give an associate's degree in sustainable ag, and they were pretty unique. I think there are a few out there now that are having similar programs, but it's pretty exciting to have a teaching flock there that I don't think there's anything like it that we know of, and we're certainly looking to expand on it. But I'm also particularly exciting that it's kind of from the fork, you know, the farm-to-table approach, in that we show people the chickens themselves, how to breed the chickens, and also in the end to teach people how to cook them, because that's the missing piece a lot of people don't get, and they'll get these heritage birds and get all excited about it and not know how to cook them properly, and then they have a terrible experience in eating them. And, you know, I eat heritage chicken all the time. I'll never go back to industrial. But if my birds are cooked incorrectly, then it's just a horrible experience because they're tough and just aren't very pleasant. So that's the exciting thing about that particular project, is it's from start to finish with the chickens. And any other colleges that are out there and interested in it can just give us a call here at ALBC and we can hook them up.
Wow. Well, wouldn't that be something to have that promoted that way? What you just said, Jeanette, brings up an interesting issue. Maybe we should have a session on how to prepare how to cook the heritage chickens so they do have a make the maximum table-worthy presentation. I mean, that's not something we've talked about at all.
Yeah, there's actually a book. Yeah, a book coming out. Yeah, I think there's a book coming out in association with Frank Reese's efforts, and I think it'll be a cookbook dedicated to cooking heritage poultry. But I can try and dig up more information on that and when it might come out. I think it's being co-authored with Molly O'Neill from the New York Times, and will really help people understand how to cook these products. I should mention that with these, with the Javas, with the black Javas in particular, when they're dressed, sometimes they will have a little bit of black pigment because of the solid black feathers. So that's something else that'll be a lesson for people to learn, is these birds, they're not all white, and when you have colored birds, sometimes you'll have the pigment issues. Same thing goes for, like, turkeys. If you've ever eaten black turkeys,
sometimes you'll have these black spots, and people, you know, even USDA inspectors will go, oh, it's fungus or something, but it's, you know, it's just natural pigment.
Black Javas have, you know, like a chicken leg will have a little black on the leg, and that was, in fact, one of the reasons they fell out of favor with commercialized chicken farming, that people wouldn't buy them. But I have to say, Jeanette has given me some of the most wonderful advice so far as cooking these birds, because, of course, since we have a close flock and I hatch, you know, many a year, I'll have a significant number of roosters that we will put in the freezer, you know, when they're quite young. And I've had some difficulty following other people's advice. And when Jeanette finally gave me the secret instructions, they're quite wonderful. It is fabulous. My oldest middle son was eating it, and he said, "Mom, what is this? It tastes like quail." And I had never thought about it, but you know, it's just the meat is very rich, and it's much redder, you know, than commercially grown chicken. So it was very good.
Wow. Well, so there are secrets to cooking.
Apparently,
okay, well,
there were, and I just didn't have them. And so as soon as I talked with Jeanette, and she, you know, said, do this, do that, and it made all the difference in the world.
Super. Okay. Well, we need to wrap it up here. That's about all the time we have. Andy has a couple of announcements coming on. So I also wanted to say that the Java, I was just reading this, it is also listed as part of the Slow Food USA's Ark of Taste. So
yes,
the Java made it on one of those, that very esteemed list of
yes,
the Slow
yes.
Foods thing. Very good.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. And we do have a blog if anybody would like to look at my blog. Is that okay for me to give that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'll type it into the chat room so they can see it in print.
Sure. It's High Ground Farm, and that's all one word, .blogspot.com.
.blogspot, okay, .com.
.com.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, and I try to keep it up to date as to what's going on. Right now it's a little much on heirloom tomato plants, being we're up to our eyeballs in tomato plants. But we do all kinds of things here. So thank you. It's a pleasure. Nice to talk to you, Jeanette.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks. Thanks, Jeanette Berenger from the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, and Deborah Underwood Brown, who is certainly a Java champion and a poultry artist. So thank you so much for being on our show today. Whisper, you had a few announcements, I believe.
I do. Just want to let everybody know that tomorrow, being Wednesday, will be another episode of Simplify Your Life with Anitra Kerr. She's going to be talking all about organization. And then on Thursday, we will welcome Dr. Bridget McRae, PhD professor, small flock specialist and poultry scientist. She'll be on, I think she's going to be talking this Thursday about how to enter your local fair and how to prepare for that with your chickens and whatnot. So that'll be a great show Thursday. And then Friday will be another episode of Fun Friday here. We hope to give away some great prizes here this Friday to all of our great listeners, chicken trivia and other fun things. So, and I want to take a moment to thank all of our first-time listeners today. Thank you very much for tuning in. We are on the air every Friday live, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, you can visit us online, chickenwhisperer.net, and at our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com, search for The Chicken Whisperer. And thank you for all the first-timers in the chat room. Hope you enjoyed it in there. And we'll see you tomorrow. Pat?
Yeah, I see we've got a lot of guests in the chat room that are new today. That's wonderful. So in closing, again, thanks to all our sponsors for enabling this program. Jeanette Berenger, Research and Technical Program Manager of the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, thanks for bringing all your information that you do. And certainly Jeanette Underwood Brown for helping preserve the Java breed, a wonderful breed of chickens, and your High Ground Farm in Holly Springs, South Carolina. Andy, I'm so glad you're catching up in your sleep. That's really good to know. And thanks for bringing us all together and for everything that you do. Thanks for the chickeneers in the chat room for clucking along. And, of course, thanks to Blog Talk Radio for providing the services at the video and the chat room. Blessings to all, and as always, may the flock be with you always.